All right. So Ruth, everybody knows Ruth is a woman who, after being widowed, remains with her husband's mother. That in itself is amazing because honestly, I don't know if I could do that. after it would be difficult. That would take a lot. Yes, for sure. And so what I'm going to do this morning is just paraphrase and go through the whole book of Ruth. And I really appreciate y'all's time and attention and grace. So here we go. One main thing in the book of Ruth is destined. And a lot of things in my message today are going to be focusing, I guess the title, Jane asked for a title, is filing a claim. And so each chapter has lots and lots of awesome things in it. And so destined. The book of Ruth is going to help us reflect on the ways that God has already destined greatness for us. That's amazing. And we're just going to learn how he was involved through it all and really learn about our spiritual inheritance. That's something that I did not know. I wasn't raised in. I didn't know that that was even a thing until I figured, hey, let me go out on my own, leave my home church, and really just seek God for that relationship. So it's really precious that God is involved in everything. So the three main characters in the book of Ruth, everybody knows them, is Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. Those are the three main. So Naomi was the widow, Ruth was the Moabite, and Boaz was the Israelite farmer. Four chapters that are beautifully designed is the first chapter. So in those days, the judges ruled. Reminds us of all the dark, terrible things that happened in the book of Judges. So previously, everybody pretty much knew the history of Book of Judges. Israelite family in Bethlehem that was experiencing a lot of struggle and a lot of trouble to survive through the famine. Famine. Thanks. I was talking to Kenny and he was like, babe, it's famine. So they moved to the land of Moab. There, the father dies, and the two sons marry two Moabite women, Ruth and Orpha. Then those two sons die as well. So all of this is happening in the first chapter. So they only leave Naomi and the two daughter-in-laws. That's all we have in the rest of chapter one. Naomi has no reason to stay. This is the widow after her husband died. She has absolutely no reason to stay. And she tells her two daughter-in-laws that she's going to move back home, back to Israel. Now, that was not like the easiest choice at all. Naomi knows that the life of an unmarried foreign widower in Israel would be very, very hard. So she compels the two women to stay behind. She knows that they're going to have a better future. They're going to be able to obtain what they have much better if they stay instead of going back to Israel. And so Orpha agrees. She's like, you know, Naomi, I know you're right, so I'm gonna leave. So Orpha decides to leave. And for many of us, that would be the easiest decision to look out for ourselves, right? So Ruth, she chooses not to. She's like, you know what? I'm going to be super loyal and faithful and carry out what I know I'm supposed to carry out and stay with Naomi. So Ruth shows true loyalty. There's the famous scripture in Ruth, where you go, I'll go. Everybody knows it. And that was something that was beautifully displayed in chapter one. So Naomi and Ruth, they both go to Israel. Naomi, she changes her name to Mara. Mara means bitterness. Naomi, the original, her name, actually means pleasant. So I found that was really, really cool to see how she's seen herself and how she portrayed herself and decided to change her name to Bitter. So that in itself, that was chapter one, right? Everybody's caught up. I really enjoyed doing this because this is not something that I really knew about. So, in chapter 2 was pretty much where they're going to find food. And I know I have a scripture, so if you want to get Ruth 2 ready, you can. That's awesome. But in chapter 2, they were really trying to find food. They're like, we've moved back to Israel, now what? Right? We have to survive, and we have to find food and shelter and water. The basics. So, it just so happened that it was the beginning of the barley harvest. Okay, so it just so happened, right? So whenever they moved back, it was the end of the famine. Famine. Sorry. So I thought that was cool. When they decided to go back, it just so happened that the barley harvest was beginning. So everybody can already see that inheritance pattern in Ruth, and the promises being fulfilled in Ruth. They didn't go back and see nothing. They didn't go back and all of a sudden start, even worse from what they came from. They actually started and seen the harvest. So Ruth goes searching in the field, and it just so happens that she begins to pick grain in the field of Boaz, which, who just so happens to be a relative of Naomi, right? So out of everybody that they could have ever met when they went back, and all the fields that she could have been picking at, this is the one. So it just so happens. Okay. So Boaz has heard of Ruth and her story. He heard all of it. Sorry, I was just reading. Thanks. So Boaz had heard of Ruth and heard all of her story. He shows her remarkable generosity, and he makes provision so immigrant Ruth could continue graining and gathering in his field. So I'm going to read the Ruth 2. Then Boaz spoke to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, from now on, don't go to any other field to glean. Stay right here, this one, and stay close to my young women. Watch where they will be harvesting and follow them. And don't worry about a thing. I've given orders to my servants not to harass you. When you get thirsty, feel free. Just go and drink from the water buckets that the servants have filled." She dropped to her knees, then bowed her face to the ground. "How does this happen that you should pick me out and treat me so kindly, me, a foreigner?" So that is a lot. I think that is absolutely amazing that she goes to this field, all of what 8 through 10 was, and he shows her such grace. Yeah, just like you said, Janine, just so happens. Because at that time, there wasn't a lot of grace shown if you go and pick in somebody's field. So it was really cool to see that and see just automatically the grace that she had as soon as she chose to be obedient and as soon as she chose to stay with Naomi and fulfill that, even though that wasn't the easiest route. God showed her favor and had so much promise. I'm sorry. It's just emotional. It's so cool. Yeah. So, that's pretty much what was going on in Ruth 2. You do not have to turn here, but Deuteronomy 24:19 was just about Boaz obeying an explicit command of the Torah. Boaz prays for her that God will reward her for such loyalty in chapter 2 as well. So not only is he letting her pick from his field, showing her grace and kindness, whatever you need, if you need a drink, by all means, go here. I've already let everybody know in advance to leave you alone. Right? How cool is that? So Boaz in chapter 2 as well prays for her that God would reward her for such a loyalty. And that was our offering scripture today. Naomi and Ruth talked about her meeting Boaz. Okay, so in chapter 2, Ruth went back home to Naomi. Naomi just stayed at home. And Ruth went back to her and was talking to her about meeting Boaz. Boaz is our family redeemer. And back then, that was, redeemer was a cultural practice that marries the widowed, protects the family line. That was definitely something that was already in set into motion. Just so happens that he was the family redeemer. So we have Ruth 3:17. That's going to be a scripture that Jan's getting ready for us. In chapter 3, Naomi and Ruth try to get Boaz to notice their situation. Ruth stops wearing clothes of a grieving widow. Okay, so she's fully preparing herself to let Boaz know that she is available. So Ruth visits Boaz on a farm that night, and Boaz wakes up. She asks him, "Will you redeem my family and marry me?" Okay, that's some pretty hard, like, when I read that, that takes a lot of courage. That takes a lot of confidence as well. I don't know if, I know Kenny had the confidence to ask me, but I definitely don't know if I would have had that confidence after knowing Boaz's strength and, I guess, placement in all this. I feel like it would be very, very hard and challenging to do that, to go visit somebody through the night and ask you to redeem my family. Like, that's such a big favor, right? So when I ask Kenny, "Hey, sweetie, can you wash the dishes?" That doesn't take me a lot of strength or courage or anything like that to ask him to do that favor. But this favor was life-changing. And this favor was already set into the spiritual inheritance of Ruth and Naomi. This is already pre-planned out. Just so happens. So it just so happens that he said yes. And so it was really sweet to see how much of a Proverbs 31 woman Ruth was through this. And that was a main attraction of Boaz. He seen truly who she was. So I want to read the 3:17-18. So Ruth told her everything. This was when she went back to the house to talk to Naomi. Ruth told her everything that the man had done for her, adding, "And he gave me all this barley besides 6 quarts. He told me, 'You can't go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Naomi said, "Sit back and relax, my dear daughter. Until we find out how things turn out, that man isn't going to fool around. Mark my words. He's going to get everything wrapped up today." Okay. So she didn't go back empty-handed. So after asking this huge favor and going in and meeting with Boaz, he could have said, you know, "I'll think about it." But he went above and beyond back into the spiritual inheritance of how great God supplies for us. That he gave her all this harvest, right? Just so happens that it was ready, it was prepared. Here you go. Go back to your mother-in-law. This is y'all's. So that's what happened in chapter 3. Thanks for doing the scriptures, Jan. I appreciate it. Those are the only ones I'm using. And then 4, we're going to get down to knowing how all of this ties in. A close relative was found, but declined when he found out that he would have to marry the Moabite. Okay? So, like in chapter 2, we know that he, Boaz, was supposed to be the family redeemer. There also was another close relative, right? So there were plenty of options for Ruth and Naomi and for the land. Plenty of options. But the close relative declined because he didn't want to marry Ruth. So all of what he could have had, as far as the land, all of this, he chose not to redeem the family. But Boaz knows Ruth's true character, just like God knows our true character, right? We can't hide anything from him. We can't apologize enough for stuff that we do. He truly knows our character at all times. And so Boaz marries Ruth. So just as the beginning, how Ruth was loyal to Naomi's family, now Boaz is also loyal to Naomi's family as well. Because Boaz was part of the family. The story concludes a reversal of chapter 1. So in chapter 1, we had discussed about judges and all the famine that was going on. And in chapter 4, it concludes, there were no famine. So it was completely reversed, right? All of the things that happened in chapter 1, by the end of Ruth, the book of Ruth, everything was reversed. So there was no famine whatsoever. All of these harvests and everything was already taken care of, supplied for. It's really, really beautiful. There were no deaths, right? So in Judges and beginning of the first one, she had lost her husband. She had lost, you know, her two daughter-in-laws had lost their husbands. So there was so much death and destruction going on. And in chapter 4, further on, there was actually a birth, right? When Ruth and Boaz had a son. So no deaths in the first, but then your spiritual inheritance came about, ending up with a whole new, the promises. So in the first one, in chapter 1, there was lots of sorrow. There were no promises in the first chapter. But it ended up with joy to Naomi. She was so, so, so happy. So one was all about tragic and death and horrible things going on. But through spiritual inheritance of being faithful and loyal and obedient, even when things were super, super hard, now there's birth and there's joy. Okay? So all is restored. It was beginning with Ruth's loyalty, then Boaz's loyalty. So in here, all of this couldn't have happened unless people followed through, right? So each chapter begins with Naomi and Ruth making a plan for their future, right? Getting everything organized. Each chapter, you know, they knew that this is what they needed to do. They never altered or strayed from it. They knew exactly what they needed to do in each chapter, whether it was go to Israel, whether it was get your heart and mind and everything ready to go to the harvest, even though that wasn't easy. They knew exactly what to do, which leads to a meeting of Ruth and Boaz. Then Naomi and Ruth were rejoicing. This is beautifully designed. Like I like to say, just so happened. It's beautifully designed story that connects with a really interesting feature. And that is how little God was mentioned in the book of Ruth. There was very, very, very few times that God was mentioned in the whole book of Ruth. But all of this was because of God. Okay. So the characters talk about God a few times, but the narrator never once mentions God doing anything directly. Okay? It's never God gave Boaz the harvest. It was never God told me to go over. You know, it was never mentioned in Ruth, God directly. And that's the brilliance of it. Was because God's providence is that he was working behind every scene in the stories of every single chapter. It just so happens. And so I want everybody to know that you don't have to beg. What God has already said is yours. And that is so powerful. Because he weaves everything together for circumstances and choices of all of these characters in the book of Ruth. Naomi, her tragedy leads to her thinking that God is punishing her. But actually, it's about God's mission to restore her and her family. And what he is doing through, what he's doing is through Ruth, right? So there's emotion, there's something that was set into motion at every time that every person was super involved with, right? And if they had not been obedient and if they not been loyal, this wouldn't have been happening. The spiritual inheritance that God had prepared for Naomi and that God had prepared for Ruth and Boaz, it would have not happened. Ruth was her boldness. So the circumstances and choices of Ruth was to be bold. That was something that she had to do. She had to set it into motion. She had to be loyal, okay? Loyal to her mother-in-law, loyal to Boaz, which brings healing to Naomi's life, okay? So Naomi's life is being restored right now, but it still wouldn't have been restored without Boaz. Boaz was pretty much a no-nonsense farmer. He was pretty straightforward in the chapters. He shows extreme generosity and loyalty. God uses his integrity to restore the entire whole family. And everybody had to make sure that they were on it, you know. They had to make sure that they were doing what they felt like they were called to do and supposed to do for all of this to happen. Your birthright as a child of God is your kingdom inheritance. The problem is that so many people do not really know who and whose they are yet. Do I need to say that again?
Yes.
Okay. So, yes, your birthright as a child of God. I know nothing about birthrights and, what we're supposed to claim. That's why the message was filing a claim. But your birthright as a child of God. So when we accept Jesus in our heart and we're a child of God and we walk it out, your kingdom inheritance is your birthright. And the problem is that so many people don't really know who and whose they are yet. Nothing or no one can take from you what God has already destined for you. Okay, so that was so huge and amazing to understand at the end of Ruth, that even all of this stuff that had happened, nobody could take that from Naomi, Ruth, or Boaz. Because the spiritual inheritance had already connected and put everything into play, everything into action, everything had happened. And it's in the perfect time. Everybody knows God's timing is the best timing. But it's not in his perfect time that you'll receive it. So it's not until everything comes about, each scenario for your spiritual inheritance is when you'll receive it. So it may not be in our time, but his time. I know a lot of people enjoy looking up like the genealogy of chapter 4 of the Son. So God's purposes and will. God weaves together the faithful obedience of his people to bring about his redemptive purposes in the world. And that leads to the real end of the story about our spiritual inheritance. It's just the genealogy of Ruth's son Obed as King David's grandfather. So it lays out like the lineage of the Messiah. So it was really pretty and awesome for me, because it was a perfect little story to break down spiritual inheritance and how, as long as we obey and, follow his word and have everybody on our team, everything will just so happen. So that's it. That's all I have. So. I think that's it. I have a whole nother page, but it's just about promises. Thank you. I appreciate it. Is there anything that else other than praying? Okay, awesome. God, I just pray right now that we will trust every word that you say and that we can see your promises and that we know for a fact that you have destined every single little thing in our lives to come about for our spiritual inheritance, God. Give us the boldness that you gave Ruth to call it out and to walk it out to get to our spiritual inheritance. We know for a fact that all of your thoughts and plans are good for me. You never have anything bad planned and destined for our lives. So God, I just ask that you keep us accountable every single day to walk it out so those just so happen things can happen. Amen. Yes. Amen.